We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter 25, text number 30. The chapter is entitled The Characteristics of King Puranjana. Yat eshama panga vikanditendriyam Savriddha bhava smita vibramat bruva Fayopasristo bhagavan anobhava Prabhadate tanugriyana so shobana shobane We are reading the translation and the purport by Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Sri Prabhupada. Certainly, your glancing upon me today has very much agitated my mind. Your smile, which is full of shyness, but at the same time lusty, is agitating the most powerful Cupid within me. Therefore, O most beautiful, I ask you to be merciful upon me. Purport. Everyone has lusty desires within, and as soon as one is agitated by the movement of a beautiful woman's eyebrows, the Cupid within immediately throws his arrow at the heart. Thus one is quickly conquered by the eyebrows of a beautiful woman. When one is agitated by lusty desires, his senses are attracted by all kinds of vishaya, enjoyable things like sound, touch, form, smell and taste. These attractive sense objects oblige one to come under the control of a woman. In this way, the conditional life of a living entity begins. Conditional life means being under the control of a woman. Woman. Under the control of a woman. And certainly the living entity is always at the mercy of a woman or a man. Thus living entities live in bondage to one another, and thus they continue this conditional material life illusioned by Maya. Om Agyanati Mrandasya Agyanayamdasya Shakshuram Nilatam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Om Vishnudaya Krishna Vistaya Mutale Shumite Satsarubhyas Swami Tenamine Om Vishnudaya Krishna Vistaya Mutale Shumite Bhaktivedanta Swami Tenamine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesa Sunyavadi Paschacha Desatarine. So here we are continuing in the hearing the words of Narada Muni, and he is speaking about King Prachinabari, but King Prachinabari, the father of the Prashetas, and he is telling it in the form of a story, and he doesn't name the king here Prachinabari. He names him King Puranjana. Translation of Puranjana is one who enjoys in a body. So It's a little bit told in a different, in an indirect way, but at the same time it is related to King Prachinabari, but it's told in a, like an allegory or something, they call it technically, I think. So here King Puranjana is saying to that lady he meets, to whom he is very attracted, he is saying, I ask you to be merciful upon me. So it's a different type of mercy as what we are used to in the Bhagavatam, because he is attracted, he is Cupid is aroused, is as Srila Prabhupada explains, all of the conditioned souls, this means practically everybody in this material world, is has a problem with lust, one can say, because as the other day was explained in the class, that nothing in the material world has no, the material world is a reflection from the spiritual world, so whatever is in the spiritual world is also present in the material world, but under in a different capacity, like a counterpart, one can say. So lust is the counterpart of the pure love we have deeply in our heart for Krishna, but it's covered over. And that's why, because love in the spiritual world, love for Krishna, is the highest, so in the material world, mundane love is considered the highest. So that's the, that's the counterpart in the material world, and that's what we have to do with. And it's very deeply ingrained in our heart. It's the deepest ahankara, it's the deepest anchoring, it's the deepest misunderstanding also. And because it's so deeply rooted throughout so many lifetimes, that's why it's not easy to unwind it, or to bring it in the right on the right track, or to get the right understanding. And when we read that at the thought of sex, a pure devotee spits in disgust, then this is so far away from our reality of daily life. At the same time, it's the real reality. But how do we come from where we are at, from our present conditioning? How do we go to the point that in a genuine way we spit at the thought of sex? That's there is a whole gap to be bridged, and every conditioned soul, meaning practically everybody, is struggling with this aspect of our being, with this misunderstanding, and sex is manifested not just by the sexual intercourse, of course that's the most clear way, but it also manifests in so many ways, in the form of pride, in the form of wanting to control, our family members or the people who are let's say serving under us, we want to control them, you know, in being fanatic or in being you know, too greedy or too you know, wanting to do things so well that, you know, that sometimes it's a seeking for attention. Seeking of attention is also an expansion of this lust, a manifestation of the lust burning in the heart. So there are so many ways that lust manifests, from gross to subtle ways, that we have to deal with it. And of course, first we have to see, first we have to understand, first we have to admit that we are conditioned in that way. That's the first step. In if you want to change something, or if you want to do something about something, first thing is that you know, that you realize, that you're aware. The worst enemy is an enemy you can't see. You have no, you know, it can come down, it can jump on your head at any moment, but you don't see, you have no idea where he is and how big he is and how, you know, that's the worst thing, you know. So, but when you know, okay, this is my enemy, if I do like this, like that, like, you know, then you can start making progress. And once you know with whom you have to do. So first thing is to recognize, yes, I have a problem with this material condition, and then, you know, the Srila Prabhupada and the scriptures give us a lot of information of this, you know, how to deal with it, what is the solution, and obviously knowledge is then a very important part of it, because if we have the understanding, if we know what we are dealing with, and if we know that our mind needs to be engaged, because we know from people who try in an who are more impersonalistic, and they want to do severe austerity, and they are able to do that for even sometimes a number of years, but then suddenly they are so strongly disturbed that they, you know, freak out, and then they can't control their senses, and they do completely the opposite of what they were trying to achieve, namely to control their senses. So thanks to Srila Prabhupada, we know that the solution is not to try to restrain or try to make the mind empty, or that's not a solution. The solution is to engage the mind in the right thing. Instead of thinking of material desires, that we think, that we get our mind engaged in the service of the Lord, in our devotional service, in our daily devotional service, and by the, in that way, you know, we absorb our mind in our activities for the pleasure of Krishna. And in this way, we have a purifying effect. Because the mind, you know, cannot be without activity. Some people try, but reality, the scriptures say, mind cannot be cannot be blank. It's not the nature of the mind to be blank. The mind has to be active, but it has to be active in the right thing. And when we engage the mind in the right thing, when we absorb in the chanting of the holy name, and that this has a very purifying effect. And if you allow the mind to go off to material activities, then this will lead to, because we have the process of thinking, feeling, willing, this will lead to troubles. If you allow the mind to go off too much, too often, too long, then this will, we can already, with our intelligence, we can already realize, oh, this is going in the wrong direction. I have to do something here, because simply of the principle of thinking, feeling, willing. Because from thinking comes feeling. And when feelings are there, then one wants to act on these feelings. And even a donkey, which is a very simple animal, after hitting his head 3 times against the same branch, then he avoids that branch. But some or other, we as human beings supposed to be far more intelligent than the donkey, we seem to have the tendency to hit our mind, our head, 100 times against the same branch. So if we are intelligent, then we use that intelligence to see. Of course, the mind can also be that powerful that it takes over, that it defeats our intelligence. And that's Radhika Raman also, he explained that in the class. He said that he asked one sannyasi what can be done when you are going too far. And his answer also was basically to not let it go too far. Use your intelligence in the beginning. In the beginning you can cut off these things with your intelligence. You can stop it. And if you let it go too far, or if you think, oh, I'm strong man, I can handle this temptation, let me go little step further, then we become again a donkey in our activities at that moment. And that's where when we take care of it in the beginning, the intelligence can deal with the mind. When we let the mind go further into the feeling, and then the willing becomes so strong that the mind takes over the intelligence, and there is no stop anymore to it. We have seen great yogis sitting under the water for I don't know how many years, and then seeing 2 fishes, couple, and then he had to do it himself because it became so strong, and the intelligence is overtaken by the mind. And that's what happens many times in our life. If you are not careful, then this happens again and again. The idea, oh, let me just a little bit, and the mind will propose, yeah, just a little more, just a tiny little more. And by that time, snap, the mind is stronger than the intelligence. And there you go, there you fall down or whatever. Is the particular circumstance. So intelligent means to see that game of the mind, because there is a game behind. mind is playing. It's a 1, 2, 3, thing, because that's why the intelligence is higher than the mind. Means the intelligence can oversee the mind, provided we don't allow, when a child does something bad, plays with a knife, you don't let it go. You just take out the knife from the child and bust. And even if the child is a little attached and cries, no, you just take out the knife of the child. So we should do the same with if our mind is getting attached to certain ideas, certain feelings, certain things we are pondering on. Just take away that, because at that time the intelligence can still act properly, correctly. But if you let it go, then the mind, that means you're allowing the mind to become stronger than the intelligence. And then there are many, of course, related statements to this. Of course, we have the famous verse, "For the mind is restless, turbulent, obstinate, and very strong, O Krishna, and to subdue it, I think, is more difficult than controlling the wind. The mind is so strong and obstinate that it sometimes overcomes the intelligence. Although the mind is supposed to be subservient to the intelligence, for a man in the practical world who has to fight so many opposing elements, it is certainly very difficult to control the mind. Artificially, one may establish a mental equilibrium toward both friend and enemy, but ultimately, no worldly man can do so, for this is more difficult than controlling the raging wind. In the Vedic literature, it is said, the individual is the passenger in the car of the material body, and the intelligence is the driver. Mind is the driving instrument and the senses are the horses. The self is thus the enjoyer or sufferer in the association of mind and senses. So it is understood by great thinkers, intelligence is supposed to direct the mind, but the mind is so strong and obstinate that it often overcomes even one's own intelligence." And then Prabhupada gives an example. "Just as an acute infection may surpass the efficacy of a medicine, the disease may be so strong that the medicine cannot take hold on the disease." So he compares that with the mind. The mind can be so much aroused and strong that it overtakes the intelligence. Shishi Radha Gopinath ki cha. So such a strong mind is supposed to be controlled by the practice of yoga. But such practice is never practical for a worldly person like Arjuna. And what can we say of modern man? The simile used here is appropriate. One cannot capture the blowing wind. And it is even more difficult to capture the turbulent mind. The easiest way to control the mind, as suggested by Lord Caitanya, is chanting Hare Krishna, the great mantra for deliverance, in all humility. The method prescribed is Savai Mana Krishna Paravinda Yoi. One must engage one's mind fully in Krishna. Only then will there remain no other engagements to agitate the mind. Another related example. My dear Uddhava, if my devotee has not fully conquered his senses, he may be harassed by material desires. But because of his unflinching devotion for me, he will not be defeated by sense gratification. Abhibhuyate indicates falling down into the material world and being defeated by Maya. But even though one's senses are not fully conquered, one who has unflinching devotion for Krishna does not run the risk of being separated from him. One who has unflinching devotion for Lord Krishna does not run the risk of being separated from him. The words Prahalbhaya Bhaktya indicate a person who has great devotion for Lord Krishna and not one who desires to commit sinful activities and chant Hare Krishna to avoid a reaction. Because of previous bad habits and immaturity, even a sincere devotee may be harassed by lingering attraction to the bodily concept of life. But his unflinching devotion for Lord Krishna will act. So here basically Srila Prabhupada is making the point, and the verse also stated here, that even if we are harassed sometimes, if we are sincere on the path of Krishna consciousness, then our sincerity will bring us back to the right track. Due to our sincerity, we will not be, you know, knocked out to the process of Krishna consciousness. Basically, we will just like when you're walking, sometimes you don't see something and then you almost fall, but then you keep walking. So if we have strong connection with the process of Krishna consciousness, strong connection with deity, strong connection with in the association of devotees, then we can overcome certain difficulties. Because obviously from the being conditioned to become pure, it's a process. So there is a path and there is a length of time, and there may be, you know, sometimes some difficulties, some distractions, but we can overcome this, or we can, you know, even if something happens, we can get back on the right track. But we should be careful also, because this can also sometimes be used as, okay, so I'm a devotee, and even if I, you know, go off for some time, it's not too bad, because I have strong devotion. This is dangerous. But in the case of, you know, accidental fall down and accidental difficulties, if we are sincere on the path, in the path of Krishna consciousness, and we don't, because we have to do ultimately with the person, we are dealing here with Krishna, you know, so, and Krishna knows what's going in our heart. So if Krishna, you know, feels we are counting too much on his mercy, and we are, you know, we are taking it for granted, or we are, you know, playing a little bit with it, then we may make another, it may take another lifetime before we are back on the right track. instead of, you know, some accidental. So this is, of course, up to all of us, individuals, who we are all on the path of Krishna consciousness, and you know, if we follow the process of the Krishna consciousness sincerely, then Krishna is there to help. And if we don't follow it sincerely, that means we are not so serious, and that may mean all kinds of things. But it is better to not play with that. Prabhupada makes a statement here: if you simply engage your senses to execute the order of the Lord, then it is controlled. Otherwise, you cannot control. It is impossible, because we have got our senses. They are very strong. Savai mana Krishna padara vindayo. 9.4.18. The mind is the master of the senses. The central sense, the chief sense, the prime minister sense is the mind. Therefore, Maharaj Sambarish, first of all, engage his mind in Krishna. Savai mana Krishna padara vindayo. If you engage your mind always to the lotus feet of Krishna, then the sense deviation, sense going otherwise, immediately controlled. The senses are very strong. They are compared with serpents, just like a cobra. Some way or other it touches, immediately dead. So our senses are so strong that it's simply dragging us towards hell. Mind is dragging somewhere, eye is dragging somewhere, ear is dragging somewhere, and touch sensation is dragging somewhere. In this way we are perplexed. Discussion of Shyama Sundar speaking in a talk with Srila Prabhupada. Freud says that sexual energy is not only expressed in sexual intercourse, but it is associated with a wide variety of pleasurable bodily sensations. Prabhupada: this is confirmed in the Shastras. Yan maitunadi griyamedi sukam. The only pleasure in this material world is sex. The word adi indicates that the basic principle is maituna, sexual intercourse. The whole system of materialistic life revolves around this sexual pleasure. But this pleasure is like one drop of water in the desert. The desert requires an ocean of water. If you find one drop of water in a desert, you can certainly say, here is some water. But what is its value? Similarly, there is certainly some pleasure in sex life, but what is the value of that pleasure? Compared to the unlimited pleasure of Krishna consciousness, it is like one drop of water in the desert. Everyone is seeking unlimited pleasure, but no one is becoming satisfied. They are having sex in so many different ways, and the young girls walking on the street are almost naked. The whole society has become degraded. Now the female population has increased everywhere, and every woman and girl is trying to attract a man. The man takes advantage of the situation. There is a saying in Bengal: when milk is available in the marketplace, what is the use of keeping a cow? So men are declining to keep a wife because sex is so cheap. They are deserting their families. And the more that men become attached to women, the more the female population of the world will increase. Another statement. People do not know that they are spoiling their life. They are thinking, It's from the journey of self-realization written by Srila Prabhupada. They are thinking, I've got a very nice apartment, a very nice car, a very nice wife, a very nice income, a very nice social position. All these material attractions make us forget the purpose of our life, to worship Krishna. In one verse, the Srimad Bhagavatam summarizes the material attractions, 5.5.8. The basic principle of material attraction is sex. Pumsa striya mituni bhavam etam. A man hankers after a woman, and a woman hankers after a man. And when they actually engage in sex, they become very much attracted to each other. Tayor mito ridaya grantim ahu. Ridaya means heart, and grantim means heart knot. So when a man and a woman engage in sex, the heart knot in the heart is tight. I cannot leave you, he says. You are my life and soul. And she says, I cannot leave you. You are my life and soul. For a few days. Then divorce. But the beginning is sex. The basic principle of material attraction is sex. We have organized sex life in many social conventions. Marriage is a social convention that gives sex a nice finishing touch. That's all. Sometimes it is said that marriage is legalized prostitution. But for keeping up social relations, one has to accept some regulative principles, some restrictions on sense gratification. Therefore, civilized human beings recognize that there is a difference between sex in marriage and sex outside of marriage, which is just like sex between animals. In any case, when two people unite some way or other, their next demand is a nice apartment and some land, then children. When you have an apartment and a wife, the next requirement is to have children. Because without children, no home life is pleasant. Putra hinam griyam sunyam. Home life without children is just like a desert. Children are the real pleasure of home life. Finally, there is the circle of relatives or society, and all this paraphernalia have to be maintained with money. So money is required. So it goes on and on. And then at the end, Srila Prabhupada says, ultimately everything will be finished. Everything will be finished in a flash, just like a bubble bursting in the ocean. The thrashing of the waves in the ocean generates millions and billions of bubbles, but the next moment they are all finished. In this way, material life is going on. The living entity travels through many species of life, many planets, until it comes to the human form of life. Human life is an opportunity to understand how we are transmigrating from one place to another, from one life to another, and simply wasting our time, not understanding what our constitutional position is and why we are suffering so much distress. So we'll stop here. Any comments, questions?
Krishna wants to be seen.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to, let's say in a family situation, if you want to have the family members for your own pleasure, if you want them to do what you want without enough consideration, then this is like over-controlling, and over-controlling is an expression of lust. Or if you are serving with devotees and you are too much on their heels, and you are too much, control. Oh, don't do this, don't do that. You know that the devotee feels like, what is still left to do? What can I still do? I mean, that also can be an expression of lust. And so, of course, even if we have this tendency, we all have the tendency to control. It's not difficult. The diagnosis is already there. Everybody has this problem in less or more amount, besides a few exceptions on this planet. So then we, even if we have this tendency, then we still, it doesn't mean that, we cannot take up a leading position or whatever, or a family, or, or a father or a mother. We can have all these things, but we should be conscious of that tendency, and we should detect it either by ourselves, that we have such tendencies, or when we get feedback from others, we should hear the feedback. Because the problem sometimes is we don't see it from ourselves. Problem number one. Problem number two, if somebody else gives us a feedback, it goes in this ear, goes out the other ear, and doesn't stay, doesn't stick. So that's another problem. So, usually, in association of devotees, there are lots of opportunities to hear feedback about one's activities. So, and if devotees don't say, we can even ask for it. It's the right thing to do, because we are here to advance spiritually, to make spiritual progress. So to ask feedback on our behavior, or if something happened, or you feel that something is wrong, you can inquire a little further in what way you hurt another person. And then, if you did hurt the person, you can evaluate, was it needed, what was the good reason for you to say that, or what was the good reason for you to act like that. And then if you detect that in that acting or in that speaking there are, there is things that shouldn't have been there, then you can go a little deeper and ask, why do I have the tendency to come out so this or so that. And then we can slowly do operations in our own and become improve basically ourselves and purify ourselves from these bad tendencies and bad habits. Yes, please.
In the material world, as we live in the body, there is pains and pleasures, and but the body, we know that even though the pains and pleasures come, it doesn't become overwhelmed by them, and they remain in the back of the ocean surface, really thick, and tolerate the pain and kind of comes. But if in the beginning that's difficult, and they, instead of being fixed only for devotional service, it's already painful pleasure, they become too fascinated with pleasures, or
Thank you for your comment. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai.